Interim Deliverability Proposal, PJMPC/TEEK Briefs, August 5, 2025, written by Devin Leith Yeshin, and read by an automated voice. Planning Committee, PJM proposes widening of interim deliverability study procedures. To increase energy supplies, PJM proposes expanding its process for allowing new resources to inject onto the grid while their required network upgrades are being completed, allowing a unit to operate partially. The proposal includes two issue charges to rework the interim deliverability study process and expand provisional interconnection service. PJM Director of Interconnection Planning Donnie Bielak said the RTO's aim is to create a path for generators that fail interim deliverability studies but are able to inject some energy without causing network overloads, to operate as energy only until they complete their full network upgrades. When an interim deliverability study identifies a local constraint affecting the ability for the resource to operate, an operational guide would be produced detailing the conditions under which dispatchers could use the unit. Bielak said the impetus for the change is a surge in Energy Emergency Alert, or EEA Level 1 actions the RTO has initiated this year. The Maximum Generation and Load Management Alert, the trigger for entering EEA 1, has been used 11 times in 2025, outnumbering all declarations since 2016. This is a pretty striking uptick in the use of this emergency procedure, which is only underscoring the need for more generation to be available to our control room, he said. Under the proposal, the deadline for developers to request an interim deliverability study would be pushed back from July 31 to June 30 to provide staff with more time to complete the studies. Developers would continue to cover the cost of their administration. Paul Sotkiewicz, president of E-Cubed Policy Associates, welcomed the change and said it should have been pursued earlier, but faulted PJM for advancing it through the quick fix process, which allows an issue charge and solution to be voted on concurrently. He argued the proposal cannot be made through manual revisions alone and would require tariff changes as well. John Rohrbach, representing Southern Maryland Electric Cooperative, noted that, under PJM's rules, resources without a capacity commitment have no accompanying day-ahead and real-time energy market must offer obligation, making their market participation voluntary, a point on which Bielak agreed. Stakeholders endorse revisions to PJM protection standards. The Planning Committee endorsed revisions to Manual 07, PJM protection standards, to add a section saying the circuit cases studies produced by PJM planning staff should not be used in isolation. The language recommends generation owners coordinate with the transmission owners serving their points of interconnection, while TOs should coordinate with their neighbors. The revisions also seek to expand relay communication requirements, add reporting open circuit conditions for station batteries, and include additional detail on transformer high side lead protection. Relay plans endorsed. The committee endorsed a proposal to sunset the Relay Testing Subcommittee, or RTS, and roll its work into the Relay Subcommittee, or RS. The revisions to the RS charter also seek to clarify the group is open only to NERC-registered transmission or generation owners in the PJM region who are signatories to the RTO's operating agreement. Attendees are required to hold critical energy/electric infrastructure information, or CAI clearance. Invited guests are permitted to attend. Addition of ELCC classes endorsed. Stakeholders endorsed manual revisions codifying the addition of two generation categories to be modeled under PJM's effective load carrying capability, or ELCC analysis. The concept was greenlit by the Markets and Reliability Committee at its March meeting and approved by FERC. The language breaks oil-fired combustion turbines out of the catch-all other unlimited resource category, putting them in their own bucket, and establishes waste-to-energy steam generation as an independent class from steam. The latter would be renamed to other steam as part of the change. The changes will be effective for the 2027-28 delivery year. During the June MRC meeting, PJM presented ELCC values for the 2027-28 auction that rate oil CTs at 80% and waste-to-energy generation at 83%. The PJM Board of Managers approved parameters for the RTO's base residual auction derived in part from those ratings, contravening stakeholder opposition rooted in arguments that the ELCC methodology lacks transparency. The rating for oil CTs fell by 5% over initial estimates PJM presented at the March MRC meeting, while the waste-to-energy class rating remained the same. Those values were based on the 2025-26 Third Incremental Auction, or IA. Transmission Expansion Advisory Committee. Market Efficiency Update. PJM has received several proposals to address congestion under the 2024-25 Market Efficiency Window 1, which opened on April 11 and closed June 10. The window identified congestion on the Musieville-Smith Mountain 138 kV line driven by expected load growth, and renewable development affecting the West Point Lenexa and Garrett Tap 115 kilovolts lines. Six projects focus on the Musival-Smith Mountain line, with three greenfield proposals costing between $270 million and $1.6 billion and three upgrades between $1.8 million and $131.6 million. Seven projects address the West Point Lenexa congestion, including two battery storage proposals costing between $83.9 million and $221.7 million, three upgrades between $28.1 million and $90.9 million and two substation expansions between $21.4 million and $23.4 million. One update was proposed for Garrett Tap with a $9.9 million cost. Supplemental projects. First Energy presented a $20.4 million project in the metered zone to resolve low voltage identified in a contingency where two 236/9 of a kilovolt transformers at the South Reading substation are offline. The project would install a new 236/9 of a kilovolt transformer, a 69 kilovolt grounding transformer, two new 230 kilovolt circuit breakers, a 69 kilovolt breaker, and new relaying. It has a projected in-service date of February 15, 2027. And is in the conceptual phase. The utility also revised the scope of a project to rebuild the 7.2-mile Penelec section of the Ashtabula Erie West 345-kilovolt line to address maintenance issues with insulators and H-frame structures. The project now, too, is proposed to include replacing disconnect switches at Erie West and revised relay settings at Ashtabula, increasing the cost from $38.7 million to $52.4 million and pushing the in-service date from April 9, 2027. To May 31, 2027. Exelon presented a $24.4 million project to replace a 345/138 of a kilovolt transformer at its Skokie substation in deteriorating condition and with a possibly loose core/coil assembly. The first phase would install a new 138 kilovolt, 115.2 mber capacitor bank, followed by removal of the tertiary 34 kilovolt capacitor bank and replacement of the transformer and a 138 kilovolt circuit breaker.
AEP presented several new service requests to serve large loads across Ohio, including a
1,000 megawatts customer near the Hanging Rock substation in Scioto County by March 1, 2029, 1,200 megawatts load near the Muskingum substation in Waterford by November 1, 2028, customer near the East Lima substation and Lima seeking service for 500 megawatts by December 31, 2028, which is expected to ramp to 900 megawatts. 300 megawatts load near the East Lima Fostoria Central 345 kilovolts line in Findlay by September 30, 2028, and 500 megawatts customer south of the Maddox Creek substation in Van Wert by December 31, 2028.